Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Crossbridge. I want to thank Will and Alan and Chris. That was awesome. Thank you for that time of worship. So welcome to Crossbridge. It's nice to see you all. Thank you for being here today. For anyone visiting, let me say welcome. We're very glad that you're here. We hope you find our church warm and open, and today's message both challenging and applicable. And for anyone watching online or listening to this on our podcast, I love as a church that we have an opportunity to reach people on a Sunday morning that can't be with us today. So I hope you all are encouraged. Today we begin a new series called Words to the Wise. We borrowed this series from Liquid Church, church up in North Jersey. They did this last spring. We talked to them about using it here at Crossbridge. They love the idea, so we've taken it and we've molded it and shaped it for our church. So this study, over the next 5 weeks, we're going to be looking at the book of Proverbs and what the Bible says about wisdom from some of the most important areas of our life. Proverbs, these are wise sayings. They're simple, concrete, they get to the point, they don't ramble on, and they're generally based on common sense or experience. So just to make sure we're all on the same page, I wanted to see if we could complete a few well-known secular proverbs together as a church. Okay, first one, don't cry over... Good, all right, you get the idea. You can lead a horse to water, but... Okay, good. Don't put all your eggs in... Those who live in glass houses should not. Okay, a couple more. Good things come. All right, and the last one, it's not whether you win or lose, but how you. Oh, place the blame. Well, most of these are wise sayings, but you get the idea, right? They're simple, they're easily memorized, and they generally speak truth into our lives. Well, over the next 5 weeks, as we study the book of Proverbs, we're going to be looking at what the Bible says about humility and how we handle conflict, at our finances and how we handle money, at our relationships, so our marriages, our parenting, and how we treat others. And finally, we'll be looking at God's larger purpose for our life and staying on a godly path. So I hope you enjoy this series, and over the next 5 weeks, we all grow a bit wiser in the process and lives are changed. So I encourage you to follow along and read ahead in the book of Proverbs. So Proverbs, it's filled with practical insight into everyday living. This is wisdom. It's profound. It raises questions about values, questions about righteous behavior, questions about the meaning of life and moral conduct. They contain these deep, nourishing truths to take time to sink in and be absorbed into our hearts and change the way we act and think. These are intensely relevant pieces of information that are useful for daily life, and if applied properly, allows us to grow in wisdom. So what is wisdom? What are the characteristics of a wise person? Wisdom is the ability to separate or the ability to understand what is true or right. To me, wisdom has to do with making good choices. But it's more than being smart. I'm sure we all know an extremely smart person, but they continue to make poor choices, right? You could gain wisdom by doing well in school, and you can graduate with honors, but be clueless on how to have a successful marriage or be a good parent. You can be successful at work, but know nothing about managing anger, responding to criticism, handling temptation, or finding true happiness in life. So I'm sure you can all think of a person who is smart and should be successful, but they go from one crisis to the next. They lack wisdom, and they can't relate to people. So wisdom, it's the power of right judgment, the ability to recognize the situation and know what to do. And wisdom is about discernment. And what I mean by that is the ability to understand the difference. Discernment is recognizing choices. And so wisdom is discerning right from wrong and making the best choice. So wouldn't it be great to realize the situation and pause and understand what's going on and make a rational decision or choice? Think about how life would be different, the happiness and success we could achieve, the impact or influence we could have on others. We've all been shaped by our experiences, right? The emotions we have, the way we react to things, they've been impacted by past choices. And so wouldn't it be great to be known as a wise person? People that could discern right from wrong. And we all want that, right? Looking back on your life, I'm sure there are decisions or situations you wish to play out differently, or you made the wiser choice. Things didn't turn out the way we envisioned. Maybe we acted too quickly, and we didn't take time to think about our options. So I'm sure you can recall a time in your life you needed an extra dose of wisdom. And we know these situations and experiences, they'll present themselves again. So how do we know we'll make the right choice next time? I'm thankful the Bible can help us with this. God provided the book of Proverbs to help us with discernment and wisdom in making wise choices. And let's be clear, I believe if we want to gain wisdom and instruction, we need to go after God. If we want to gain wisdom and instruction, we need to go after God. God wants us to make wise choices, to lead a fuller life. Godly wisdom is being considerate, submitting to Him, and being sincere. A theme for the study of Proverbs is that there are two paths in life, a path of wisdom and a path of foolishness. The path of wisdom leads to love, success, peace, and prosperity, whereas the foolish path leads to death, conflict, poverty, and pain. So what path are you on? God wants us on the right path, so He wrote the book of Proverbs to help us in the wisdom and decisions we make in everyday life. So turn to Proverbs now, and we'll understand wisdom better. Proverbs is located right after Psalms, so if you open your Bible right in the middle, it's the next book after Psalms. We'll be in chapter 1, so as you turn there, let me set it up for us. Proverbs is a book of practical and moral instruction with insights into everyday living. Proverbs was written by King Solomon, which is appropriate because he's considered in the Bible as the wisest man that ever lived. Solomon is the son of King David. He was the third king of Israel, and he was anointed king at the age of 12. Shortly after he was anointed king, God appeared to Solomon in a dream and said, "Ask for whatever you want." So here, some of you probably have 12-year-old children. What do you think your 12-year-old would have asked for? Toys. Or when you were 12, what would you have asked for? Would it have been to be rich or famous, maybe to be in TVs or in a movie, or to be an incredible athlete at a young age? So think about what you would have asked for. And you know what Solomon asked for? It wasn't wealth or fame or long life or to defeat his enemies. Solomon asked for wisdom. He said, "I'm a young kid. I don't know what I'm doing. Lord, give me a discerning heart to lead your people well." And here's how God responded. He says, "I will give you what you have asked for. I will give you a wise and understanding heart such as no one else has had or ever will have. And I will also give you what you did not ask for, riches and fame. No other king in all the world will be compared to you for the rest of your life." Solomon, he humbled himself before the Lord. His request for wisdom pleased God so much that he gave him riches and long life too. What a great example of seeking God first, and all things will be added to you. And wisdom alone is such a blessing, but it comes with so much more when we live life God's way, when we follow His instructions, when we walk in His truth, when we seek guidance by studying the Bible, when we submit ourselves humbly in prayer and ask Him to show us the way. Then we're blessed. Our marriages are blessed. Our relationships are blessed. Our lives are blessed. Again, wisdom is more than just knowledge. It's about discernment, understanding the difference between right and wrong. Knowledge is knowing the facts, but wisdom is knowing what to do with that information. Knowledge is knowing what to say, but wisdom, it's knowing when to say it. And knowledge comes from your mind, but wisdom comes from your heart. So Solomon chose wisdom, and we see from his life that there's nothing that compares to it. It's greater than riches, fame, or power. So our passage today comes from Proverbs chapter 1, the first 7 verses. So let's read it together. "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, for the sayings and riddles of the wise, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." So Solomon, he wrote the book of Proverbs to train us in wisdom. He was speaking to his sons and passing along a father's instructions. So these are hundreds of bite-sized pieces of information that are practical and relevant for everyday life. The purpose of the book was found in verses 2 and 3. It says, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair. All good things, right? Wisdom, instruction, understanding, prudent behavior, doing what is right. Wisdom is the key to the entire book. Again, the ability to discern or understand what is true or right. Proverbs, it deals with our ethical choices, calls into question our thought process, how we go through life, how we treat others, about being fair. Again, the recurring theme in the book is generally the wise live longer, they're prosperous, and they have joy. Whereas the fools suffer shame, pain, and death. Next, we see the target audience in verses 4 and 5. It says, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young, let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. So here we see two groups of people for whom Proverbs was written. It said, the simple and the young, and the wise and the discerning. So what we take from this is that Proverbs is for all people. We should be in one of those two groups. So first, to those who are simple. Now, before all the wives nudge their husbands and say, listen up, this category's for you. Simple is not meant to be stupid. Simple is someone who lacks experience. They don't realize what was going on. They're not trained in the ways of the wise. They don't have the experience. They're naive or they're gullible. And it's also for the young. We all know how impressionable young people can be, right? They can be easily led astray. Much of our life is defined by decisions we made as children. So like we said at the beginning, think about those defining moments in your life you look back on and wish it played out differently or just didn't happen. Teaching our young people the right thing to do is so important. And as a member here at Crossbridge, I thank God for Becky, our children's ministry director, and Will, our youth pastor, and all of you that volunteer for CB Kids and youth group. I'm grateful we choose curriculums that teach the truth of Jesus to our children and teenagers, that we create an environment that our children want to come to church or youth group. They want to learn more. So if gaining wisdom and instruction means we go after God, our kids, they need to know who God is. Our children need to grow in wisdom. And after all, wisdom never changes, right? The situation may change, the setting may be different, but wisdom does not change. The book of Proverbs is filled with good advice. These are wise sayings that are still considered wise today. So our children, they need to grow in wisdom. These are lessons they can learn, concepts they can lean on, and hardships they can avoid. They can learn practical insights at a young age. And so I pray every night for wisdom for my children, that they would make good choices, they would not give in to peer pressure, they would know right from wrong. God wants that for our children. He wants to provide knowledge and discretion to the young. So the second main group is the wise and the discerning. Wise people love wisdom. They embrace it. Discerning people recognize things well. They can separate, make clear choices. They can make the best choice. This group wants to learn more and further their understanding. And I'm not saying this group doesn't make mistakes. That's not it at all. What makes them different is they seek out wisdom. They ask for advice. They study and continue learning. Proverbs was written for the wise to add to their learning and understanding. So no matter our life experience, we can all get wiser. So it's not just the young and the gullible, it's the older and the experienced. We will not outgrow our need for wisdom. So from the first five verses, we've seen who wrote it, why it was written, and who it was for. But verse 7 is the foundation of the entire book, and it unlocks the key to gaining wisdom. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Anyone else think that's really confusing? Good. We're going to start with the first half and we'll break it down. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. This appears in the Bible over 100 times and 20 times alone in the book of Proverbs, so it must be important. And it's the beginning of knowledge, so we need to understand what it means. Most of us probably associate the word fear with terror, distress, panic, or being afraid. When we read it this way, it probably comes across very negative, like, watch out, God's going to get you. He's waiting for you to mess up and he's going to strike you down. But that's not the context. It's not a negative statement, it's a positive statement. The fear of the Lord is about your relationship with God, about your relationship with Jesus. It's about being in awe of God, about honoring him. It's about reverence. It's a feeling of respect that you're in the presence of God, an admiration, a love, an appreciation, an amazement for who he is. This attitude is the beginning of wisdom. And it's a healthy type of fear. Similar to, say, the fear of your parents or a teacher, their status or role is of authority, and you want to act in an appropriate manner. It's an attitude of honor and extreme respect. The same could be said about your spouse. Who else here fears their spouse? Raise my hand. And no, it's not that I'm afraid of her, that she'll beat me up because I think I could take her. It's that I love her so much, I value my relationship with her, that I don't want to mess up. Does that make sense? If you love someone, you fear them in a healthy way. You don't want to do anything that will hurt that relationship or tear it apart. Fearing the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. It means our relationship with Christ is the foundation on which every decision should be made. If we want wisdom and instruction, we need to go after God. God, he can't just be another thing we have going on in our life. He has to be the thing. Our relationship with Jesus has to be the fundamental principle, the central themes of our life that which everything else is centered around. In every decision we're making, we need to think how it'll affect that decision or relationship. Does it draw us closer to him or does it push us farther away? From relationships, if you're dating or you're about to get married, to the way we parent our children, to whether you take that job or from where you're going to live. If we fear the Lord, our lives will be centered around how we make those choices and how they will affect our relationship with Christ. The fear of the Lord says, or the verse says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So this mindset, being in awe of God, is the starting point for knowledge. It's the starting point for the race. We can't even start running the race and growing in knowledge and wisdom until we have this perception of God and make him the centerpiece of our life. In this context, beginning also means the summation, the grand total, the all-encompassing point. So the whole sum of wisdom, the essence of wisdom, is fearing the Lord. Again, it's an attitude. God is saying, wisdom starts with your attitude about me. When we stop fearing the Lord, I think we're heading down the wrong path and beginning to lose sight of wisdom. The second part of the verse says, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The foolish despise wisdom. The foolish reject God and say, I'm on my own. I can handle this. I got it. But we're foolish when we value our own opinions or we put our desires first and think we know exactly what's right for our life. A pretty arrogant way to think, right? Or we're foolish when we surround ourselves with people that don't challenge us, that they tell us whatever we want to hear. Or we're foolish when we can think, how do I use God to get what I want? And we need to flip that around and say, how do I get more of God? My friends, that's wisdom. How do I get more of God? If God is the central things in our life, if we love him, if we fear him, it's freeing and it's liberating. If we humble ourselves and confirm that nothing compares to our relationship with Christ, to love God is to fear him. If we want real wisdom, we need to have a humble faith and a holy fear that values Christ above all else. The fear of the Lord is about faithful service to God, that we listen to his teachings and we change from behaviors we know are wrong. The fear of the Lord is about submission, obedience, that his ways are right, that he is the truth and the life. Having this focus, this attitude, should put everything into perspective. Leading a life of service to the Lord and following his teachings offers restraint from foolish activity. The attitude we're talking about points us in the right direction for wise conduct, right living, purity, moral behavior, avoiding temptation. So I know there's a lot to digest here. I hope you find it encouraging that there is a path towards wisdom. I hope we can come away this morning with at least in terms of understanding where we begin to gain wisdom. And if we want to gain wisdom and instruction, we need to go after God. If you're here today and you're not sure what to make of all this, you heard the message about the importance of wisdom in our life and going after God, but you're just not sure about God and Jesus and have a lot of questions, that's all right. I'm glad you're here. Ask those questions, read the Bible, talk to the person who invited you here today. But let me ask you, how is life going making choices your way? Is something missing in your decision making? Do you need something else? Are you lacking true wisdom? And let me tell you that God, in his infinite wisdom, is calling out to you saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and he's pleading with you to follow him. I encourage you to take a step towards wisdom today. And those of you here today that have accepted Jesus in their life, I hope you can think about this message. Think about the two groups of people, the simple and the young, the wise and the discerning. Which do you fall into? Are you growing in wisdom? And do you fear the Lord? I pray that when we look at Jesus, that our heart melts, that our pride is washed away, that we can call him Lord of our life and our everyday life. At that point, we can love him and fear him, and we're growing wise. And if we're going to grow wise and develop this relationship with God, we need to be reading his book. We have to open up the word of God and see that wisdom is ours for the taking. It sounds so simple. Most of us have our phones, and the Bible app is on our phones, right? So it's convenient. But I know it's hard. We know it's there. It's easily accessible. And maybe that's part of the problem. It's just so... we can tap into it any time. We'll leave it for tomorrow. We'll do it later. We get distracted. Or you know what? We're desperate, and we're looking for answers. We flip aimlessly through the Bible looking for that magical verse that'll solve everything. And so hopefully to make this a bit easier today, we're going to start a 31-day Proverbs challenge as a church. For the next 31 days, I want to challenge everyone to move closer to God and closer to a life filled with wisdom. The goal is to read one chapter a day. So set aside 10 minutes, set a reminder, and as you read, write down one of the Proverbs that speaks to you. Ask God, what are you trying to reach in this area of my life? What are you saying to me here, Lord? As you read, go slowly, let the verses sink in, speaks to your heart. If you want to share, post it on Facebook or Twitter, hashtag ThisIsCrossbridge, hashtag Proverbs. Encourage one another, and in 31 days, I hope we are all both wiser individually and as a church. And don't be surprised if over this time, God recalls something to you at a critical point. So if something jumps out at you as you're reading, write it down. You may be surprised in a few months when you have an important decision to make at family or with work, and you need discernment. So use this time to study wisdom that will recall in the future. So as the worship team comes back up, I want to close with this. Gaining wisdom requires time, sacrifice, and humility. We have to devote the time to do it. And if we're successful there, we're sacrificing something else. So maybe it's waking up earlier, or less time on TV, or less time on social media. Whatever it is, growing in wisdom will require some kind of sacrifice. And it'll require humility. Admitting we don't have the answers, we're asking for advice, we're sharing our struggles, we're saying to someone, I don't know what to do, but I'm going to follow the one that does. So as we said earlier, knowledge is about knowing what to say, but wisdom is knowing when to say it. Seeking wisdom will bring life change to our marriages, to our relationships, our parenting, how we treat others. It's the encouragement we offer our friends. It's the submission of our hearts, and it's a legacy we can leave our children. So as we close, let me ask you, what path are you on right now? A path of foolishness or a path of wisdom? We're all on a journey. We're heading somewhere. We're trying to become someone. But the choices and decisions we make each day can shed light on that path. So God wants us on a path of wisdom, and if we want to gain wisdom and understanding, we need to go after him. So will you pray with me? Lord God, I thank you for this day, the teaching, Lord, that if we want to grow wiser, we need to go after you, Lord. Submit our hearts to you, Lord. Let us seek you in all things. Let our decisions be made with you in mind, that are we getting closer to you or are we moving farther away? So, Lord, I pray for this day that we leave here, we make good choices, that we take the 31-day Proverbs challenge and we grow wiser together and as a church. Be with us today, Lord, and thank you for the ability to worship you. We love you and we thank you. In your name, amen.